Good job, brother. James chapter 2 is where we'll be this morning. And Romans chapter 4. As you're finding your places, let me say thank you for all that have called and all that has sent a card this week and all has been around us in the loss of my uncle. He was a very special person to me. Not only was my uncle who taught me how to do everything just about it, but he was the, I'd be like Timothy and Paul. I'm his son in the faith. And so I'm thankful for having the privilege of having such a wonderful, loving uncle. Thank you guys for all that you've done. Let's stand as we read this scripture here, if I can get this thing to turn up where I can see it. James chapter 2, we're going to read three verses here, and then we'll go over to Romans and read a three there as well. Let's see, James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son unto the altar? Seest thou now faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so thankful today that we've had this time of song of worship. We ask you just now, O Lord, that you might open our hearts to the Word of God. I pray just now that, Lord, that you would take the message and use it for your glory. I'm unworthy to stand here behind this sacred place. Lord, I just pray today that as the message comes forth, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be upon me. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I pray, O Lord, that the Spirit would cover me. And I pray that he would speak through me the very words that you would have said. I pray, Lord, that he'd keep me from saying anything that shouldn't be said. But I pray with the Holy Ghost boldness that I would say exactly what you would have me say, which is truth, unchangeable. And Lord, I just pray if there's one here lost and undone, they'd be saved. I pray, Lord, this morning, if there's a heart here that is walking at a distance from you, that knew you and walked with you at one time, I pray they'd be drawn back into the fold. We just give you this morning, Lord, to do whatever work it is you do. We know it's your work and not ours. So glorify yourself in this place today as we surrender ourselves and humble ourselves in your presence for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Sometimes there's a bit of controversy or a little bit of difference here when it comes to the thought of faith alone whenever we look at Christ. So here we read two pieces of scripture that sound like they contradict each other. But they really do not contradict each other, because as we look at those two things together, we will see there is a great harmony of the two, of faith and works. Let me say this, and you guys know where we stand. For by grace are we saved through faith. It is a gift of God. It's not a works, lest anyone should boast. So I want us to understand this. It is solo Christo. So whenever we come to Christ, it is him alone that draws us. It's him alone that saves us. It's him alone that that seals us. It's Him alone that we have been called unto God for. So there's no contradiction within the Bible. So let's take a look, if you would, at what it means. I remember not too long ago talking with a lady. Here's what she said. And I was talking to her about church, and I knew that she was involved in church, or at least she had been involved in church, so I was just talking to her about church. And in that conversation, I found out she wasn't attending where she was attending at some time back. And so I just asked, I said, man, I thought you guys loved that place. I thought that place just hit exactly what you wanted. So it surprised me that you're not there now. And you know what she said? She said, well, let me tell you something. I go to church to be entertained. If they don't entertain me, I'm not staying. I'll go somewhere else. Let me tell you something clear, that you will not always be entertained in church. Matter of fact, the way our sinful natures are, if someone stands in a pulpit and preaches the truth of the Word of God without compromise, call sin, sin. Call it like it is. Call it like God said it was. When someone does that, I'm telling you, they're not very popular in the day we live in. It takes something to look at the Scriptures and try to mold our own thinking into what God is not pleased with. And so here, we're looking at two things. We're looking at an act of faith, which Abraham believed God when he called him out of the land of Ur, and he believed what God said, I'm going to give you a son, and out from him will come many nations. And so Abraham believed him, and the Bible says that God counted that to him as righteousness. What was it? Faith. Faith alone. He had no works before. He was just a nobody, just like we were when the Spirit of God called us. We were a nobody. But yet God looked down and knew our condition, called us from our sins into life. How did he do that? By having someone come along with the Word of God. For it's by the Word of God that faith comes. It just don't happen. Listen, it is the work of God in our lives when we hear the message of the gospel. And so this morning I want us to figure out what's going on. Well, here, so we know Abraham acted by faith. Then James says that he acted by works, and God counted that to him as righteousness. And so here's the difference in that. Paul's talking about an issue that by faith he was called. And in terms of the day, let's call him, he was saved, all right? He believed God. And so he come out from among the world and he followed him. James is talking about something that happened 40 years later. After he had already been counted to God as righteousness, James was talking about something completely different 40 years later, whenever he followed that faith, that he believed God, and he followed that faith to the place where he was willing to work whatever God said, he believed God. Now, here's what we need to do as Christians. We need to so believe God. We either need to believe him or just give up on him. But I can tell you this, he's not going to give up on us. We need to either believe him and do what he has said do, or we just give in and give up and have no life with him at all. Because you see, there's no middle ground with him. We can't sit on one side of the fence and stand on another side of the fence. We have to make up our minds as the Spirit calls us. What am I going to do? I'm going to act in faith that God is going to supply for me everything that I need so that I might live a life for him that will glorify him. That's what it's all about. It's about glorifying God, doing what he has asked us to do. So this morning I want to talk to us about faith in action. Because faith in our lives. Let me ask you something. Does faith in your life have action? Is there something that you're doing that everybody looks at you and says, now that's the man of God or that's the woman of God? Is our life living in a sense of belonging to him and not even belonging to ourselves? Because really, we've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. We don't have the sovereignty of our own. It is God's sovereignty that has called us. And we gave up our rights when we said, I trust you and I believe you had died for my sin. And we were converted and came into the kingdom of God. We give up all rights and all faults that we should have had. So if we have done that, or we haven't done that, if we're living our lives just like the world, thinking like the world, acting like the world, doing like the world, with no conviction at all, then we need to find out if we really believe or not. Has God really done something in my life that has changed me? That's what we got to focus on. So there is faith, but faith really seen takes action. We have to do something to show. But you know why? Because somebody is watching. So who's watching us? Who is watching us when it comes to our faith in action? Well, I can tell you who's watching. Of course, yeah, that's right. God does watch us. But let me tell you what. Our family watches us. Now we find out that God takes, in Genesis, Abraham comes out, and he goes there to Canaan, and God says, this is going to be yours. I'm going to give it to you. All you have to do is trust me. But there were some people there. They were the people who lived there. They were the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I can just imagine them. Here comes Abraham. At this time, he had a little band with him. Wasn't that many of Abraham's family with him. And so they moved on into the land that God says is going to be yours. And here the people are that possess that land. And they see them coming in. I can almost think or almost imagine that they were saying, what are they up to? What are they doing? Why are they here? See, I believe this is the way the world looks at us. When we make the faith choice, when we choose to believe God's promise, what happens here is someone is going to look at us and say, is it real? Or is it going to last? And people will be watching us. They will be focused on us. And listen, although we don't judge, I can tell you the world does judge. I remember in a grocery store one time talking with a lady behind the register and just was talking to her about the Lord. And she said this. She said, well, let me tell you, that religious stuff, I'm not ready for that. First of all, I'm not ready to quit cussing. I'm not ready to quit smoking. I'm not ready to quit drinking. So all that stuff, I'm not even interested in. Because here's what she said. I've seen how Christians act. Mercy sakes. Do we realize that people is looking at us? When we profess to be a Christian, people look at us, and they are counting what God can do in someone's life if they're going to be just like you. We've got a lot of responsibility. Somebody's looking at us. Somebody's watching us. And the ones that watch us most is our families, our children. Let me tell you something. If you're not the same at home that you are when you're in church, there's a problem. There's a problem. There's a major spiritual problem. Probably we're not saved. Because when we leave here, the Spirit of God don't just dwell here. He dwells in us. And when we leave here, He goes with us if we're His. And our children see us. And they hear us talking big around other Christians. But they know how we are when everybody else is gone. When it's just me, Mama, and the kids. The kids know how we react. They know what we think. They know what we say. They know what we watch. And they are looking at us to see if this thing called faith is real. They're watching. They're looking to see if they can count on God doing something in their life. Because most people's lives that I know is a mess. In the day we live in today, their lives are a mess. Around this county right here, just the amount, talking with at the funeral home the other day, here's what he said. You would be surprised at how many deaths we have every month from from overdose. Well, we all know that's in the system. But he said something else. He said, the biggest thing that disturbs me now is the amount of kids committing suicide. I said, do what? He said, Damon, you'd be surprised how many children, how many young folks, how many teenagers are taking their lives. Why? Because they have no hope. And they're looking for someone to show them what hope really is. They're looking for someone that can lead them and guide them to someone who is able to fulfill their lives for them. It would be nice if we could wipe all that stuff away. But listen, they're watching us. They're carefully watching us. They want to see if what we've got is real. And let me tell you how they do that. They will look at us when something terrible happens in our lives. When a tragedy comes along in our lives, they will look at you and they will say, look how he or she handled that. They didn't do a very good job at handling that. Listen, Abraham followed God, but listen, he wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes in his walk with God. But he did by faith follow him, and he went where God would carry him. That's what we need to do. Our faith will be put to the test at times. And if we don't have anything in here in our heart to carry us through, I'm telling you right now that we will be a disaster in the eyes of someone who cares about us. We have to stand strong and not be pulled by the world and not let things get us confused about where our hope, our help, and our strength comes from. We have to look to God and make sure that we are where God would have us to be. God calls us to action. He calls us to do something. There's no such thing as a born-again believer that don't have something to do for God. There's no such a thing. If you say, well, I don't have anything for me to do, there's one of two things that's happening. Either, number one, we're lost, and we're church members. We're lost church members. Or else, number two, we've been saved and have not sought the will of God. Now, you say, well, how do you find the will of God? It's right here, this thing we call a Bible. You don't have to have a vision. You don't have to have some kind of miracle happen to you, because what God wants us to know is right here. What he's called us to do is right here, written within the pages of the Holy Scriptures. And what we need to do, if we think we have nothing to do, let me tell you, get in the Word of God. In my studies right now, I'm working in ministry here to early church ministry, because I'm advancing my ministry degree, and I am looking at the Acts church, and I'm telling you this, we are missing it by a long shot. We have become lazy and disgruntled with God, and what we need is an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost, sin-killing, life-changing experience with God. That's what we need. That's exactly what we need. But we hold back and we wait on God. Now listen, God calls Abram here to do something unbelievable. I'm thankful he didn't call on me to do this. And what did he do in Genesis 22? The Bible says that he called Abram to take his one and only son, the very son that God said that your seed's coming through, there's going to be great nation, many people. But God said, you take him over to a mountain I'm going to show you, and you lay him on an altar there. And what I want you to do, I want you to take and offer him as an offering to me. And you guys know the story. Abraham was obedient. He walked right out of the house. He claved the wood, he loaded it up, he got him two servants to take care of the mules whenever he got back, because he knew he was coming back. And he told them, said, you stand here and wait, and we'll return. You know why? He acted, and the Bible says that God took his act that he done as if he had slain his own son. You know why? Because in his heart, he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. And he's thinking, oh my gracious, God's promised me this. And if I do this, and he's told me to do this, after making this promise to me, I know God could raise him from the dead if he was to slay him. How many of us, now I'm not telling you to take, please don't do anything like that. But what has God told us to do that we are not doing? What have we done this week that anyone can look at us and say, that is faith in action. That's what faith is about. How many people's lives have we touched because somebody's watching us? Somebody needs someone that knows what hope is. We need people. We need men. We need people of faith that will stand up and proclaim the truth. You know what I do? If we'll stand on the Word of God, it might make everybody else mad, but it will please God. And when we please God, I'm telling you one thing we can do. It will shut the mouths of the critics. Because, listen, truth will set us free if we just stand on truth. There's too much compromise within the church. There's too much worldliness within the church. There's too much like everyone else in the church. What we need to do is be like Christ. We need to seek God's face. We need to work as he's called us. Abraham was called a friend of God. Why was he called a friend of God? It wasn't because they were fishing buddies. It was because he did what God asked him to do, to the very point where it tried his faith. It took a lot. It took a lot. But when he done in his heart exactly what God said for him to do, in the action that he was about to slay his son, God said, stop. You've already done it. Now, this is Damon Lee version. You've already done it in your heart. That's enough. So we have to do some stuff. We have to take action if we're going to be called a friend of God. It takes something. It takes commitment. It takes faithfulness. It takes something in our lives other than us. Because did you know the things we're talking about is not natural for us? That's not naturally what we do. Because of our fallen nature, we all want to be number one. We want to take advantage of someone else. Now, we don't say that we do, but let me tell you what. How many of us will give up our lives for a friend? I would give up my life and my family. Guys, wouldn't you? To take care of your family, I'd give up my life for that. But I can tell you what I wouldn't do. God, help me on this end. I wouldn't give my life for someone who hated me, despised me, made a mockery of me. I would not give my life for that person. But guess what? God did. And he did it for us. He did it for us. So we need to understand, we need to be a friend of God, but we're friends of God by action. Let me read this to you. Right out of the Bible. See, modern day Christians, we don't call it like God calls it. We don't. We don't call adultery anymore. We call it, I don't even know what to call it. But most of the people, most of the counselors will say this, that an outside affair can strengthen your marriage. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, how stupid can they get? I mean, they might have a PhD, a postal diggers, and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. They're stupid on that part. Because what it'll do, it will ruin your family. It will ruin a marriage. And now they call fornication cohabitating. And we cohabitate because we can't make things work. You know what God calls fornication? Starts with an S. It's called sin. We call homosexuality an alternate lifestyle. What does God call it? Starts with S. Sin. Calls it sin. We try to change everything. They take, oh, America's going to pay for this one. They take the lives of little children while they're still in the mother's womb and call it choice. Listen, it's called murder. Amen. And God says it's sin. And listen. Did you know there's as many people within the church as there is, or let me rephrase it, as they are. Is that right? Would that be right? The teachers, would that be right for me saying is or are? But anyway, we take the things that God says is sin, and we just say it's a friend. And let me tell you something. Those things is just as prominent within the church as it is outside the church. There's adultery. There's fornication. There's homosexuality. There is murder of children. In the church. But if I'm going to be a friend of God, if God can call me friend, it's going to be because we take a stand for truth. Now listen, none of these things I've talked about is for us to go out and condemn and send somebody into some kind of our own little hell, if you would. Our job is this, to love the sinner whom we were before we come to know him, and still do a pretty good job with it after we come to him. So we have to understand that we will not reach people for Jesus by thinking we're better than they are. We've got to love them, care about them, and understand God's word is true. Don't matter if Congress votes on it tomorrow and says, which they have voted on, and said it's all right. But I want us to know that what God says, we must stand on, no matter what the world says, if we're going to be his friend. Jesus said it this way. Now, this is hard saying. This is a hard saying. Jesus said, Matthew 16, 24, 25, 26, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen, when Jesus said that, his disciples knew their life was in danger. They knew that they probably might have to give their life if they followed Christ. He said, take up your cross and follow me. We've got to bring these bodies under subjection. Now, that's what Jesus said about this in Luke. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Wow. What in the world is Jesus talking about? Just simply this. See, they didn't have something to differentiate between love and a lesser love. So it was either love or hate in the original language. So what Jesus is saying here, not that you're supposed to hate them as wishing ill will. It is that we are to love him so much that our love for everything else pales in comparison. That nothing in our life we love more than we do Jesus. So if we're going to be his disciple, if we're going to be called his friend, there has to be some action on our part. This morning we're doing something. We're here and we're hearing the word of God. And James says this in James chapter 2. James says that if we hear the word, chapter 1. If we hear the word and don't do the word, we deny the truth. Let me read it to you. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if we hear the word and not do the word, he is like a man that looks into a mirror with his natural face, goes away and forgets who he really is. The word of God has the power to change our life. The word of God has the power and the strength to make us like Christ. The word of God is what we need to be called the friends of God. We just can't talk the talk. We have to walk the walk. And then faith in action takes total commitment. We can't do this thing halfway. There's no such way as secret service Christians. We are full-blown, armored, ready to fight the enemy. And believe this, the enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemy is not another man. It's spiritual. It's something that the devil is using, evil is using. But we don't fight with flesh and blood. But we fight against powers and principalities. We fight against rulers of evil, wickedness in high places. They look like men. They look like women. But it's a spiritual battle. So don't look at someone and say it's you. You know very well that when someone is against what God says, it's not them. They're being influenced by wickedness. So what do we do? We pray for them. Let me ask you this question. Why did God save us? Why did God save us? Did he save us just to keep us from going to hell? You said that? Somebody just said no? Okay. That's right. Did he save us just to take us to heaven? Mm-mm. He has saved us because he loves us. He has saved us so that he can transform us into the wickedness that we are, into the fallen nature that we are, into this corrupt flesh that we are, that we might be like Jesus. That's why he saves us. God wants you and wants me to look and act like Jesus. Listen, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. We need an awakening. Each individual one of us needs an awakening. From the pulpit, throughout the building, throughout the family, including all those that are not here. What we need is God to send revival for us. We need God to strengthen our resolve to be faithful Christians, followers of Christ. We need to have resolve that God will strengthen us, that if we will be obedient, that God will work great things through you. It's just a matter of surrendering ourselves. If we would go out tomorrow, and everything we do tomorrow, we would do it with an absolute, yielded, wholeheartedly service. And if we would look for every opportunity to serve God by serving someone else, God will greatly be glorified. What do we do? We let our light shine. Whatever we do tomorrow, let our light shine. Don't hide anything. Let it shine. And it will, listen, it will show the world who you are. It will identify you with Christ. And it will glorify God, our Father in heaven. Who's watching? A lot of important people's watching. Starting with the tinies up through the 90s. All of us can probably have experienced something in our life at some point that because of your lifestyle, someone came to you when they were in need. And I'm talking about spiritual need. I'm not talking about they needed something to pay the light bill with. I'm talking about they needed a spiritual need. And they looked at you and they said, something's different about you. We have to understand that there is no halfway with God. It's all or none. So we have to choose that. We choose whether it's all or none. If you choose all, it will change your life. It will change your life completely. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of your family, a part of the kingdom of God. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would take the message and you would take it to our hearts. That, Lord, that we know that you've called the church to action. And that action is seen in the things that we do. Our salvation is faith in Christ alone. But the world sees our faith when there's action, a work, and service to you. Lord, I pray we will not compromise the faith, but we would stand strong. That you'd use us greatly and glorify yourself through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Brother Fred's going to lead us in a song. Would God call you a friend? Would he say, yes, that's my friend, because he's doing what I've asked him to do? I hope we could all say yes. But let's be truthful. If we can't, we need to be around the altar of God, asking God, God, you help me be what you would want me to be. And God will bless you. So if we're not doing, we need to decide today, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow him and be his friend as we sing.